Chapter 10. One whose path has taken a new turn is often initially disoriented. But as time passes, and the path continues steadily in its new direction, there is a tendency to believe that it will remain so forever, with no further turns. Nothing is further from the truth. A path once bent is always susceptible to new changes, particularly when the original change came from manipulation by an outside force.
So,
Juihir Madras said, taking a careful sip of the calf Arinda had poured for her.
Are you going to Kors Square for the weekend? Or are you going to be a Stickley and just hang out and bash?
Probably a Stickley,
Arinda said regretfully, sniffing at her own mug. Juihir liked her calf much hotter than Arinda did, so that was how she always prepared it when her friend dropped into the office. Easier to let hers cool than watch Juihir trying not to complain about the tepidness of her own drink.
Kors Square is awfully expensive.
That it is,
Juihir agreed soberly.
I thought you used to sleep in your airspeeder when you went there.
That was before Wapsbur got caught doing spice in a public parking area,
Arinda reminded her.
After that, Ranking banned us from sleeping or living in any of his vehicles.
I didn't realize it was a complete ban,
Juihir said.
I thought he just wanted his people not to get caught doing anything illegal or embarrassing.
Arinda shrugged.
A complete ban is always easier.
And more brainless,
Juihir said.
And you can't stay in his main office?
The office sleeps 10 if you push it,
Arinda said.
I'm currently number 18 on the waiting list, so no.
Ah,
Juihir said again.
Well, Ascension Week's kind of a big deal.
Arinda nodded, sniffing again at her calf. A big deal for the average Coruscant resident, but even more of a big deal for the political elite.
Grand events like this were the perfect screen for the high and powerful to mingle with one another, and Ascension Week was the ultimate in such things. The week-long festivities that climaxed in Empire Day drew swarms of people to the center of Imperial society as politicians made quiet contacts and deals without the obviousness of going to one another's offices or the less obvious but theoretically traceable route of comm calls.
A million people and a million possibilities,
and Arinda had worked very hard to take full advantage of both. She'd started small, making conversation with other senatorial aides and assistants. But over the last couple of festivals, she'd also made contact with a low-level journalist and the office manager from one of the mid-rim moffs. This year, she'd hoped to leverage both of those one step up to their respective bosses. Now, with Ranking's new ban on what his staff had jokingly referred to as portable housing, it looked like that wasn't going to happen. And she couldn't help but wonder how much of the ban had been Wapsper's indiscretion, and how much was Ranking's finally noticing Arinda's own political machinations and taking steps to block them. Though, to be honest, she had to admit that it was highly unlikely. But then, so much on Coruscant tended toward the unlikely. Her work at Ranking's Citizen Assistance Office in Bartanish 4, known universally to its inhabitants as Bash 4, had started off a little rocky. The mostly working-class population was very much in the same mold as the miners of Lothal, but even with such commonplace people, her Outer Rim accent and lack of Coruscant breeding had opened her up to both amusement and contempt. But Arinda had kept at it, and slowly she'd gained their acceptance and trust. And most unlikely of all, along the way she'd even made a genuine friend.
So I guess we're going to have to do something about that,
Juihir said.
She took another sip, then set down her mug. Okay, I concede. It is possible to make this stuff too hot.
Told you,
Orinda said, smiling. She'd been in Bash 4 over a year, and was just starting to win over the populace when Juahir had come in asking for help finding an apartment. Orinda had located one in her own building, and later that week had helped carry in her meager collection of belongings. Juahir had thanked her with dinner at an incredible little blink-and-miss-it restaurant Orinda hadn't even known existed, and from then on, they'd been inseparable.
Not worth stressing about. There will be celebrations here, too, you know.
Juahir burbled a rude sound through her lips.
Right. Bash 4's Empire Day festivities? 10 minutes worth of fireworks, 2 minutes of which are duds from last year, and 3 minutes of all the airspeeders honking their horns. Listen to Palpatine's pre-recorded speech, 2 more minutes of honking, and everyone goes home. Big whoop.
She shook her head.
It's too bad you don't have a friend who has a friend who has an apartment within view of the Imperial Palace.
Orinda gave a little snort.
If you mean Senator Ranking...
Oh, wait.
Juahir interrupted, brightening.
That's right. You do.
She pointed a finger at herself.
Me.
What in the world are you talking about?
Orinda asked, frowning.
I'm talking about Kor Square,
Juahir said, clearly enjoying herself immensely.
I know a guy who just snagged a place in Sestra Towers.
Sestra Towers?
Orinda gasped.
Sestra was a luxury apartment complex, close enough to the center of Federal District that it was visible from Ranking's main office.
You're joking.
Nope,
Juahir assured her.
It'll be a little cozy, but we can fit you in.
You're serious?
Orinda said, almost not daring to believe it.
You sure your friend won't mind?
Already cleared it with him,
Juahir said.
There's one catch, though.
She leveled a finger at Orinda.
We'll be responsible for transportation and lodging. You'll be responsible for getting us into at least one exclusive party or reception. Deal?
Deal,
Orinda said, smiling back.
Not a problem. I can get up to 2 other guests in on my senator's aid pass.
No,
Juahir chided.
You never tell the crowd how the trick is done. So, can you sneak out a little early?
Sure.
Orinda checked her chrono.
As boss of this office, I'm giving myself the rest of the day off.
I wish I had friends in high places.
You do. Sestra Towers.
And don't you forget it,
Juahir said.
How long will it take you to pack a bag?
5 minutes,
Orinda promised, shutting down her computer and keying for messages to forward to her comm.
Come on, I'll drive us over. You can get your bag while I pack, and we'll meet back at my airspeeder.
I said I'd provide transportation,
Juahir reminded her.
I know, Orinda said. I've also seen your airspeeder. We're taking mine.
The Federal District, known informally as the Core of Coruscant, or even more informally, Core Square, was the undisputed center of the galaxy, both politically and socially. The Senate was there, as were the Imperial Palace, all the major ministries, and the combined headquarters of the Army and the Imperial Navy. The elite of the Empire lived and worked here. So did those who had ambitions of joining that noble society, as well as those who carried out the elite's will.
So, what's your excuse?
Orinda asked Driller Mardap as they rode the crowded Airbus toward the Alessandre Hotel.
She means, how did you score an apartment here?
Juahir translated.
As in, whose pet Tuca did you have to feed, walk, and polish?
Oh, is that what she meant?
Driller asked, grinning. He grinned a lot, Orinda had noticed in the brief time she'd known him.
Fortunately, he had the teeth and dimples for it.
Sorry to disappoint you, but no Tuca was involved. I happen to have an uncle who's a senior staff officer at Royal Imperial, and who happens to be off-planet for 3 months. Being as I'm his favorite nephew...
Translation, he's the nephew who got in his bid before any of the other relatives did.
Jui here interjected.
Favorite nephew of all those who asked him,
Driller amended dryly.
I got to move in.
So what are you doing?
Arinda asked.
Work-wise, I mean.
Nothing fancy, I'm afraid. I'm with an advocacy group that petitions senators and ministers on behalf of ordinary citizens.
Ah,
Arinda said, mentally crossing him off her checklist. Advocacy groups sometimes had access to the powerful, but they had no power of their own. Nothing there for her to cultivate.
Sounds a lot like what Arinda does in Bash 4,
Juahir said.
Pretty similar, yes,
Driller said.
Except that you're handling local people and problems, while we speak on behalf of people from other planets. Sometimes on behalf of the whole planet, in fact.
I thought that was what senators were supposed to do,
Arinda said.
Emphasis on the supposed to part,
Driller said.
Oh, I'm sorry. That sounded nastier than I meant it to. You know better than anyone how easy it is for someone to fall through the cracks. That's our job, filling in cracks.
Sounds so exciting when you put it that way,
Juahir said.
So, any idea which of these parties the Emperor is supposed to be hosting?
I'm not sure he's going to host any of them,
Arinda said.
That rumor goes around every year.
She squinted toward the hotel they were rapidly approaching.
I don't see any Imperial guards anywhere, so if it's happening, it's not happening here.
That's okay,
Juahir said.
We're going to hit a lot more parties before the week's up, right?
As many as you can handle,
Arinda promised.
Or at least until we get thrown out.
Hey, that can be fun too.
The Alessandre's grand ballroom was supposed to be one of the biggest in Kor Square, with a cluster of smaller rooms surrounding it. The arrangement made it ideal for both large gatherings and the smaller, more intimate get-togethers that inevitably spun off from big crowds. The security men at the door gave Arinda's ID a good, hard look, and gave Juahir and Driller even harder ones, but passed all three of them without comment.
Wow!
Juahir breathed, looked around as Arinda led the way through the meandering flow of people.
I feel very underdressed.
You're the guest of a lowly senator's aide, Arinda reminded her. You're not expected to have a 1,000-credit gown.
I'm sure there are plenty of us around, Driller added. You just can't see them for the glare of the gems from everyone else. So, who exactly is here, Arinda?
It's a pretty fair mix,
Arinda said, studying the little conversational knots that had formed amid the eddies and flows of partygoers.
Over there are the governors of a couple of the minor Kor worlds. There's a Midrim Moff over there, and I see at least 6 or 7 senators.
And you know all of them? Driller asked.
Can you introduce me? I don't really know them, but I've met a lot of them,
Arinda said, though she'd certainly been trying to know most of them better.
Senator Ranking sometimes sends me out to deliver confidential data cards when I'm here in Kor Square.
So that's where you disappear to all the time,
Juahir commented.
It's hardly all the time,
Arinda corrected her severely.
Maybe 4 days a month if I'm lucky.
Yeah, but for every one of those days, I get 20 calls wondering why you're not in your office fixing someone's problem.
What are they calling you for?
Arinda asked, frowning. This was the first she'd heard about this.
You don't work there.
No, but a surprising number of people in our building know we're friends,
Juahir said dryly.
They figure that I'm responsible for you or some such. Ridiculous, Arinda said. You're barely responsible for yourself.
If you two could stop bickering for just a minute, Driller cut in, would one of you care to explain that?
Arinda followed his pointing finger. Across the room was another conversation knot, this one consisting of just four people. But they were definitely an eye-catching group. One of them was a white-haired man with a matching mustache, wearing the white tunic and insignia plaque of an ISB colonel. The second man had his back toward Arinda, but his formal outfit matched one owned by Senator Rankin. The third man was young and wore the uniform and plaque of a Navy ensign. And the fourth man wasn't a man at all. He was human-shaped and had human features, but his skin was blue. His hair was blue-black, and his eyes were glowing red. And his insignia plaque identified him as a senior lieutenant.
I've never seen anything like that before, Driller continued. What is he? Some kind of Pantoran with an eye condition?
Now that's just rude, Juahir chided him.
But she was staring at the strange being just as hard as he was.
Arinda, any ideas?
Sure,
Arinda said.
Let's go over and ask.
Juahir's gasp was audible even over the hum of conversation filling the ballroom.
You're kidding.
Not at all, Arinda said.
Actually, I think that's Senator Rankin, so I can just pretend I was checking in to see if he needed anything. I thought you were off duty.
Senator's aides are never off duty, Arinda said.
Come on.
And if it wasn't Rankin, she decided, his outfit tagged him as someone of similar status. Easy enough to flip a humorous case of mistaken identity into a new contact among the elite. The contingency plan proved unnecessary. The man was, in fact, Senator Rankin. The first thing Arinda had learned as his aide was to never interrupt a conversation. The second thing she'd learned was how to edge herself into those conversations. In this case, the best approach was to position herself at a discreet distance, outside the group, but inside the edge of the senator's peripheral vision. Eventually, she knew, he would notice her. In this instance, the wait was barely 10 seconds.
Ah, Arinda,
Rankin said, interrupting himself and holding out an inviting hand.
I was hoping to run into you. Your comm said you were here, but I didn't want to interrupt you with a call unless I had to.
Not a problem, Senator,
Arinda said.
What can I do for you?
I need a favor.
Rankin half turned to the other three people.
But I'm forgetting my manners. Colonel, Lieutenant, Ensign, this is Arinda Price, one of my aides. Miss Price, this is Colonel Wolf Ularin of the Imperial Security Bureau. Senior Lieutenant Thrawn, a rising star in the Navy, and Ensign Eli Vanto, the Lieutenant's aide and translator.
Honored, noble sirs,
Arinda said, bowing respectfully.
Colonel Ularin was just telling me about an intriguing operation the Lieutenant and Ensign were recently involved with out in the Mid-Rim,
Rankin continued.
Really?
Arinda said, putting some fascination, most of it genuine, into her voice. The elite loved to hear themselves talk, but most of the time their stories were worth listening to.
Really?
Ularin confirmed, his eyes flickering over her shoulder to Juahir and Driller, probably making sure they were out of eavesdropping range.
The lieutenant more or less single-handedly captured a pirate ship and most of its crew, and saved a valuable shipment of Tabana gas on top of it.
It was hardly single-handed, Colonel,
the non-human said. His voice was calm and respectful, with a quiet underpinning of confidence and intelligence.
You had only four crew with you, including Ensign Vanto,
Ularin said.
I call that close enough to single-handed. What do you say, Ensign? Was I overstating the case?
Not at all, sir,
Ensign Vanto said politely. He looked and sounded a little pained, as if he had no idea what he was doing here and just wanted to go home. Which, from his distinctive accent, Arinda guessed to be somewhere in the Outer Rim, or even Wild Space, which likely made his forced presence here among the elite even more awkward and uncomfortable. Arinda herself had worked very hard to get rid of her own Outer Rim accent, but she still felt self-conscious about her roots.
Ensign Vanto is perhaps too modest about his and the others' contributions, Thrawn said. But what matters is the result.
Well, however it untangles, congratulations to you both,
Ranking said.
I presume you're here on Coruscant for commendation?
He raised his eyebrows.
Or promotions?
Not exactly,
Yularen said.
There's some additional data work, shall we say, that needs to be looked at.
How serious are we talking?
Ranking asked, eyeing Thrawn.
Serious enough,
Yularen said.
But I'm not particularly worried. I was an admiral during the Clone Wars, and I still have friends and high places.
And are no doubt making a few more tonight,
Arinda murmured. Yularen looked at her with fresh interest.
Very perceptive, Ms. Price,
he complimented her.
Yes, that's exactly why I'm putting the lieutenant through the Coruscant social grinder. I think he did a remarkable job, and I want to make sure as much of the Senate knows about it as possible.
Well, I personally will be sure to look into the details when I get a chance,
Ranking said.
But right now, as I said, I need Ms. Price to run an errand for me. Arinda, I need to leave, but I also need to get a data card to Moff Gotti. You know who he is, right?
Yes, sir, of course,
Arinda said. Actually, she'd made quite a few private deliveries to Gotti over the past 2 years. Gotti was always too busy to talk to her during those visits, but she'd always made a point of engaging his reception and staff people in friendly conversation. This might finally be her chance to make contact with the Moff himself.
Good,
Ranking said.
He'll need to load it into a secure data pad, download the files, then return the card to you.
Understood,
Arinda said. A slightly unusual procedure, but still one she'd occasionally done before.
Do you want me to take it to your office when he's finished?
Please,
Ranking said.
Just put it in the drop slot.
He nodded to Yularen and the others.
And now I really must take my leave. Colonel, good luck. Lieutenant and Ensign, even better luck.
He turned and began weaving his way through the crowd toward the main entrance.
If you'll excuse us, Ms. Price,
Yularen said with a courteous bow.
I have a few more people I want to introduce Senior Lieutenant Thrawn to, before we head across Cor Square to the next reception.
Of course, Colonel,
Arinda said, bowing in return.
Lieutenant, Ensign.
She turned and headed away, noting that Yularen and the other officers were heading toward a knot of other senators.
I thought you were going to introduce us,
Driller complained, as he and Juahir came up beside her.
Sorry,
Arinda apologized.
Wasn't really an opportunity. Next group.
So, who is he?
Juahir asked.
And what is he?
Mostly what he is in trouble with the High Command,
Arinda said.
We didn't get any further than that.
Interesting, Driller said. High Command doesn't usually bother with junior officers. Wonder whose Tuca he ran over.
You can ask your uncle when he gets back,
Arinda said.
All I know is that when someone like Colonel Yularen says additional data work, with a pause between the words, he's talking about something serious.
Or more precisely, not talking about it, Driller said.
Exactly, Arinda said. But that's Thrawn's problem. My problem is that I have to go to work.
Yeah, we saw the handoff,
Juhir said.
Delivery, right? Right. And during an Ascension Week party, too?
Juhir shook her head.
Ranking's a slave driver. You want us to come with you?
No,
that's okay,
Arinda said, craning her neck. She couldn't see Gotti, but if he was here, it shouldn't take long to track him down.
I'll be back as quick as I can. Have fun. Enjoy yourselves. And don't get drunk on the swirly dips.
Swirly dips have alcohol in them?
Juhir asked, brightening.
They do here, Arinda said. Stay out of trouble, okay?
Ranking had been right about seeing Gotti earlier. With the Moff's distinctive appearance, Arinda spotted him within 3 minutes of starting her search.
So, Ranking has you working tonight, does he?
Gotti asked, fingering the data card. His eyes were bright and intense, Arinda noted a little uneasily. Swirly dips or something stronger. Hopefully he was functional enough to get this over with quickly so she could get back to working the party.
Yes, Your Excellency,
she said.
But I'm sure he wouldn't have interrupted you if it wasn't important.
And he even sent you,
Gotti said, smiling crookedly.
Well, come on.
He turned, sending his patterned red and yellow cloak swirling through the air around him as he headed for the lifts.
My secure data pad's in my suite,
he added as Arinda hurried to catch up.
It'll just take a minute, and then you can get back to enjoying yourself.
Yes, Your Excellency,
Arinda said, glancing around as they worked their way through the crowd. She'd never even seen pictures of what the Alessandre suites looked like. If the ballroom was anything to go by, Gotti's suite would be well worth a quick visit.
It was. Get yourself a drink if you'd like,
Gotti said as he crossed the plush carpet of the main living area toward one of the side doors.
The droid can fix anything you can name.
Thank you, Your Excellency,
Arinda said, eyeing the extensive bar off to one side and the exquisitely restored classic Leisure Mech C5 bartender droid standing motionless beside it. She was tempted, but for the moment at least, she was officially on duty. Instead, she contented herself with looking at the carvings, the artwork, and the decorative panel inlays. This room alone was twice the size of her apartment, and probably cost her entire year's salary per night.
I'm glad it was you he sent,
Gotti called from the other room.
I've seen you in my office several times over the past few months, usually playing courier. Ranking obviously has a high opinion of you.
Thank you, Your Excellency.
As of course do I,
Gotti added.
A very high opinion indeed. Tell me, have you enjoyed working for him?
It's been very interesting, Arinda said, frowning.
That wasn't the kind of question she was usually asked. Was Gotti just making conversation, or was something else going on?
Of course, interesting,
Gotti said.
The most diplomatic word possible, as well as the most insipid.
He stepped back into the living area, Ranking's data card in hand, and walked back across the carpet to her.
Here you go,
he said, handing it to her.
You may take it back to him now.
Thank you, Your Excellency,
she said, frowning down at it. It looked like the one Ranking had given her, but at the same time, something about it seemed different. The color was right, and the senator's logo on the upper corner seemed correct.
Could it be the weight? She hefted it gently, trying to decide. No,
she realized suddenly. It was the logo. Senator Ranking's logo was etched into the surface of all the office's data cards, but the logo on this card was embossed rather than etched. This wasn't the same card she just handed Gotti. She looked up at the Moff, to find him gazing back at her, a hard-edged half-smile on his face.
"Very good, Ms. Price," Gotti said quietly. "Too bad, really."
"Your Excellency?"
she asked carefully.
"You noticed there was something different about the data card,"
Gotti said.
"A shame. If you'd just taken it back to him... as I say, too bad."
Without warning, his hand snapped out toward her. She had just enough time to see a small tube concealed in his palm as a spray of fine powder showered her face and chest. She flinched back, reflexively squeezing her eyes shut.
"So now we have to do it the hard way,"
Gotti continued.
"That, Ms. Price, is Polstein spice. Highly prized, highly expensive, and highly illegal. And you, my dear, have enough of it on you to guarantee that you spend the rest of your life in prison."